Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2025, and we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others. And today we are reading from the bottom of page 91, when he sees you know all about the drinking game, through to the end of that paragraph on page 92 with some of his own. Our readers today are Robin P., who will read the text, Luann C., A Vision for You, and Alex K. is our backup. Larry G. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference number for Sunday, April 20th, the special edition, is 22,361. And for Monday, April 21st, the 7 a.m. Eastern, is 22,362. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz S. in Oregon to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. This is Liz S. And here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. And I will now ask Lilan P. in Germany to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Lilan.
Thanks. This is Lilan, a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought not to be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, Lilong P. in Germany. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're still in Working with Others, and if you go to page 91, the last paragraph, when he sees you know all about the drinking game, ending with some of his own. Yes, okay, and I'm now going to ask our friend Robin P., who's currently in Houston, to start reading and sharing for us. Thank you, Robin.
Oh, thank you, Susan. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Houston, Texas. There's a lot of machinery around me. I'm sorry about that. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist, which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is an alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. And, you know, it's so interesting because when people shared with me when I first came to the program, I was shocked. I thought it was the only one. First of all, I had so much denial and so much fear and shame that I thought that I was the only one who did these things. And when I first came into OA, I was a really low-bottom bulimic, and I told myself and everyone at the meeting that I just had 5 pounds to lose, 10 at the most. I couldn't come in and tell anyone I was bulimic. I had so much shame. And as other people told me about their bulimia and anorexia and other things they did with food and compulsive overeating, I, over a bit of time, I was able to say, you know what? I'm a low-bottom bulimic. And it helped me to peel away all that shame that I felt and to hear other people talk about what happened to them and what they did. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you did that? And everything I've done with food, someone else has done as well. And every time when I am sponsoring somebody and they tell me some shame that they feel, I go, oh, I did that, you know. And so it's just so healing and helped so much. You know, I always remember that positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. And when I'm positively vulnerable with the right people, with safe people, I get to de-shame. And that's part of my healing process. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. It's just one recovery at a time. You know, we all just get to help each other. And it's so powerful because when I tried to do it alone, it never worked. You know, isolation and illness begin with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have, the better I do. And the more I share, it just dissipates all those, you know, the poop I always felt like I had on my heart, all that manure, just so that the sunlight of the spirit can shine through my heart again. And, you know, the one other thing I just wanted to say is about that strange mental twist. You know, we all have that. That's why we just get to stay so connected to God and each other and one moment at a time and just keep practicing. You know, don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and just keep working these steps and reaching up and reaching out. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Thank you, Susan, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I pass. God bless you.
Thank you, Robin. That was amazing. Thank you so much. In case you came in while Robin was speaking, before I take some names and explain how we do the sharing here, I'm going to let you know what we just read and what we're now commenting on. Page 91, when at the very bottom, when he sees, you know, all about the drinking game, through to with some of his own. So although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So that counts for both meetings. So we don't get to double dip if you went to the earlier meeting as well. So what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from today, as we really are this worldwide fellowship. So who would like to start us off this morning?
Alex K.
Thank you, Alex, and I know where you're from.
Bruce E., Florida.
Florida, yep.
Larry
G. Bruce. Larry, I've got you. Thank you.
Susan, California. Deborah G.
Thank you, Deborah. I heard you. Thank you.
Jordan L.
Good morning, Jordan. This is my Wordle. I remember where you're all from. Keeps your brain going. All right, we're going to pause there. I have Alex K. in Florida, Alex in California, Bruce E. is in Florida, Larry G. in California, a Susan in California who will share her last initial with us, Deborah G. in Arizona, and Jordan L. in Colorado. So if everybody other than Alex could mute their line, over to you, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, and thanks everyone for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. Well, it's important for me to focus on myself and my experience. I don't need to try to diagnose anyone or convince them. Just describe myself as a compulsive eater, talk about how baffled I was. I couldn't stop compulsively eating no matter how hard I tried, and that shows my powerlessness. I was sick. I am sick. I have a disease that I can't control on my own willpower. Talk about all the struggles and pain of compulsive eating, which took over my life. The mental twist, which is the disease lying to me, saying, this time I'll control it. It's okay. Just a bite won't hurt. I can handle it. Forgetting all the times I tried that and it didn't work, and it led to relapse, finding myself binging in the throes of compulsive eating again and again, so hopeless and helpless and miserable. And when I share my stories, then they may identify in, and if they're a compulsive eater, they'll understand as only a compulsive eater can. And then they may feel comfortable sharing about their stories, talking about themselves, and they'll see we share a common problem, that they're not alone. And then they'll understand that I know what it's like to suffer with this disease. I'm not judging. I'm just wanting to be helpful. They're more likely to be open to hearing about the solution I've found. And that's the good news, that I'm happy to share. I'm not suffering, struggling with compulsive eating today because of this program and my higher power. Yay, so grateful to have found this life-saving program. Thanks all for helping me with my recovery today. I pass.
Thank you, Alex K. in California. And we're now going to zoom over to the east coast of Florida where Bruce E. Please join us. Thank you.
That's right. Yep. Thank you, and thank you, everybody that's here. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Florida. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And, yeah, I got a reprieve for today. And it says here, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Yeah, I don't mind telling people I'm a food addict anymore, you know, because I am. You know, I'm recovered, but I'm still a food addict. And so, you know, gotta say what I am. And it says here about being sick, learn that you were sick. Well, the way I see it is I'm not a bad person trying to get better, a person trying to get well. You know, so I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person trying to get well. So, and I'll probably never be totally well. You know, I'll always, there'll always be a little bit there that keeps me as an addict. But it says here that show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink or its break. So, yeah, I went through this mental twist for so long, and I just couldn't figure the thing out. You know, I just couldn't get it. You know, I'd say, okay, I'm going to go tonight, you know, to such and such a place and eat, and just one plate. And I, you know, 3-4 plates later, I'd be going, well, what happened to me? Well, because I got this mental twist that precedes every binge. And so once I take that bite of that alcoholic food, the allergy comes in, and then the phenomenon of craving, and then the obsession and compulsion. It just goes right in order just like that. Allergy, phenomenon of craving are both physical. So I take the wrong foods, I ingest the wrong foods, or maybe I did it the day before or even a week before. And I ended up, you know, consuming the wrong foods. And now I've triggered the allergy and the phenomenon of craving, and it's just a matter of time before it comes up because the obsession and compulsion is the mental part of it for me, psychological, and that's kicked in, you know. So, which leads the first drink on a spree. If he is alcoholic, so I can't tell if anybody else is a food addict. You know, I can't accuse somebody of it. I can't judge somebody and say they're a food addict. And I've talked to quite a few people, and during the course of the conversation, I was thinking maybe they're not a food addict. You know, yeah, thank you. They don't sound like me, but if it's for them to describe whether or not they're, to identify themselves whether or not they're a food addict. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brucey in Florida. Next up, we have Larry G. in California. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Susan, for your committed service to this fellowship. Yes, my name is Larry G., and I'm calling from California today. Yes, reader, it is powerful, and we can't do it alone. The game changer for me, when I'm now working with the new fellow, is in this one line, show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. Oh my God, has that changed my entire outlook and attitude about this disease. In the past, before I got to visions, I couldn't conceive of myself as having abnormal mind. Larry G., abnormal mind, world traveler, small business owner, honors in college, well-read. How could I have a sick mind? I knew I had a sick body, but not a sick mind. I knew that in AA. I mean, you go to AA meetings, they talk about the alcoholic thinking all the time. But before I came to a vision for you, when I would work with people, it was all about processing feelings. Let's write a 10-step. Let's write a long 10-step processing your unwanted feelings. Because, I'm an emotional eater just like you, and that's what keeps me drunk, is my unwanted feelings. Well, if that was true, the people I sponsored, including myself, many of them have been in therapy. I would just go to therapy and process those feelings and overcome the obsession. But the obsession is the mind. And this has been a game changer when I came to a vision for you. It's just sprinkled throughout the book. The mental twist precedes the first drink. And I can prove it. I can prove it myself. I had like a run of 6 months just on a white cloud. You know, the goose was hanging high. I just became recovered and went through the steps. And then I was out and I had this really stressful event. And the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, stop at your favorite restaurant, the AMPM market, and go in there and get your, you know, drug of choice. I mean, it was so intense. It was as if I had not even attended a Vision for You meeting, or had worked with a sponsor, or worked with my sponsor. And all I remember was, you guys have taught me what to do. I pulled my car over, and I called a member of this program. This person picked up, and I did a 10-step about the strange mental twist. And that's what I try to help people today to see this. I share my experience, strength, and hope. I don't beat people over the head of it anymore. I'm just a second guy.
That's time, Larry.
And with that, I pass it back to you, Susan.
Thank you so much, Larry G. in California. Next, we have Susan in California. And Susan, if you could kindly share your last initial with us, that would be helpful. Thank you. Susan, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, my name is Susan E., and I'm from California. And this is my first meeting, and I am doing, since my friend has gotten abstinent and told me about it, I feel like some hope. And I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of not feeling well, and hoping that that'll be enough to keep me strong on this program. And I'm very grateful for this program, for being here, because I do need the support. I know it more than ever. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, welcome, Susan E. from California. And if you want to stay on at the end of the meeting, Larry G. and Shelley E. will be hosting, so you can leave your name and number if you would care to. All right, next we have Deborah G. in Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much, Susan, for moderating. I love how you moderate. It's so cool. It's fun. And thank you all who have made this meeting possible. And welcome, Susan, and welcome all the newcomers that are on the line today. And that's what I was thinking about, how all of you, and thank you all for 12-stepping me today and have continued to 12-step me in the past, because that's how I got to a realization of what was going on with me, and getting me to that place of surrender and needing help from all of you because of what you shared with me. And that's what I want to carry to anybody that comes to me or anyone on the line, you know, my experience, strength, and hope, which is all that I have. You know, I would continue over and over again to do the same thing with food. Some of it was I wasn't honest with myself and seeing the truth. And some of it was not really wanting yet to surrender to, and looking at, you know, because I kept doing it. And then that mental twist, not knowing why did I pick up that food again? Why am I back here where I was before? What's going on with me? And feeling that insanity of not knowing, you know, because I didn't know at first, but then when I started listening to others and learning about the disease and the thinking, and, you know, and also there was an alcoholic food that I wouldn't let go of that kept that phenomenon of craving going and going and going. And then there, then finding out that it was an alcoholic food. And then, you know, not wanting to give it up. You know, God, I got to hold on to this. It's the insanity stuff, you know. And then when I finally got to that place of waking up and surrendering and being willing and getting someone, a sponsor that could help me, you know, have a food plan in place, weighed and measured, and no alcoholic foods, and be taken through the steps so I could have a transformation and get free of this insanity, crazy life I was living. And now I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. I don't have to live like I was living before, and I never have to do that, and you don't ever have to do that either. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Deborah G. in Arizona. Next, we have Jordan L. in Colorado. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. So I got to tell you, sponsoring and like the way that we go about sponsoring, it's pretty specific, you know, like the way it's described in this chapter is pretty specific. And I got to tell you, it was kind of the opposite of the way that I operated and related to people. Prior to Overeaters Anonymous. So it was like I'm really grateful that I had a lot of enthusiasm coming into it, because I had really found something here that I hadn't found elsewhere, that I had been looking for a really long time. So I was like overly enthusiastic to share it with other people, but there was a learning curve as far as like how to be with other people, you know, and even more so like how to be effective with other people. The 10th step talks about that. It talks about growing and understanding and effectiveness. And I wasn't a very understanding person, so it took a while. Understanding the true nature of my problem, what it was that I was dealing with here, was kind of like the first step in that process. Because I worked all 12 steps, but I got to tell you, it was getting to step 12 that I really understood step one. I really understood how it was that I was going to be able to like maintain long-term abstinence here, you know? I really saw that when I got to step 12, when I started working with other people, when I started describing the doctor's opinion to others, and then telling my story throughout, the first three chapters throughout more, there is this, Bill's story, There Is a Solution, and more about alcoholism. And relating to that strange mental twist, like showing other people in my own experience, the strange mental twist. And I got to tell you, like it was, the effectiveness is not about the other person. Sometimes people related to it and sometimes they didn't. I've had some sponsees that they get to step three and they're like, you know what? I'm not a compulsive overeater. And I'm like, that's cool. You know? Even stick around if you want, but very grateful for this way of life. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. in Colorado. Okay, before I take the next round of names, a reminder where we are. We are at the bottom of page 91 when he sees you know all about the drinking game through to the end of that paragraph with some of his own. And again, as a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning. And it's star one to unmute.
Hillary B., California.
Thank you, Hillary.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Thank you, Julie. Who else would like to join this second lineup? We have time.
Pam B., California.
Thank you, Pam. Anyone else? All right, well, we'll pause there. I have Hillary B. in California, Julie
Hello.
P. in Minnesota. Hi.
Ginger M. from New York.
Okay, thank you, Ginger. All right, so we've got Hillary, Julie, Pam, and Ginger. So if everybody other than Hillary B. could mute their line. Hillary, take it away. Thank you. Please star one to mute if you are unmuted. Somebody's unmuted. Thanks. Hillary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, yes. I was waiting.
Thank you.
This is Hillary B. from California, compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered just for today. And yes, I was baffled many years in OA, hearing other people share, being taken through the steps, taking other people through the steps. I was still baffled. Why isn't it working for me? And I had a lot of struggles. I tried a lot of things to stop eating. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm not really that bad of a compulsive overeater. I never gained that much weight. I'm not that sick. A lot of lies I told myself. And I also had a lot of shame, ashamed of my body, ashamed of the way I ate, ashamed of what I ate. Ashamed of the binges, the hiding. I had so much shame, and I didn't understand. I had read the Big Book a number of times, been taken through the Big Book, heard other people share about the Big Book, but I didn't understand it. No one explained it to me. I didn't understand. All I thought was, if I work the steps again, I'll get more spiritual. I just need to be more spiritual, and then I'll be able to put down the food. I did that for so long, and just so self-destructive and damaging. And so when I finally did work the steps the way we talk about envision, the way I finally was able to hear. I can't say nobody ever taught me before. I just know I could never hear it before. And I hit such a low bottom. I got very, very, very in a dark place. And I do finally understand about the mental twist, the physical allergy. If it was only the physical allergy, I could put the food down. I could go on a diet and never pick it up again. Never touch my alcoholic foods. But that mental twist that tells me I'm different. I can handle it. I've been abstinent for 3 days. I can eat a little of this time. And I'm so grateful to be recovered ED. I never used to describe myself as that. But what I have to remember is I don't care how much abstinence I have, how many days, how many years. And Sunday was my 24 months. I have 2 years now as of just yesterday. And but I cannot be abstinent today just because I have those 24 months. Those 24 months are a gift. I'm grateful for it. I'm very happy about it, but it's not going to get me through today. Thank you. Thanks for the timing, Susan. I pass.
Thank you. And that was Hillary B. in California. Next, we have Julie P. in Minnesota. Hello, Julie.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am from Minnesota, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I know that today, because of all of you, you have shared your stories, your journey, your sickness, and I have learned to identify that my sickness is much like yours. My denial is so strong that I did not want to hear that, but I am so grateful today. And it is my job to share my experience, strength, and hope. And that's all I have. And the journey, thinking at first I would never relapse. Well, and of course I have relapsed and I'm back. And there is a solution. And the clarity this morning that came to me, I made it through Easter. I made it through Easter yesterday. And I get to share that miracle with anyone who wants to hear my experience, strength, and hope. I did not even think about a jelly bean yesterday. And that is a miracle, an absolute miracle. And that is the miracle that this program can give to anyone. And it is my job. Without sharing what I've been given, I will not keep what I have. And I'm so grateful for the directions in this book. And thank you all, and have a blessed Monday.
Thank you so much, Julie P. in Minnesota. Next, we have Pam B. in California. Hello, Pam.
Hello, good morning. I'm Pam B. from California, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I am looking at the line, the clause, how you finally learned that you were sick. And the food, it showed me how very sick I was. That's how I learned, is by being in the food. And even as a sponsor, I was a sponsor, sponsoring someone after having gone through the steps, working with a sponsor, and have recovered and felt neutrality and stuff. But then I think my spiritual condition was not fit, and I started to listen to the voice that never stops. And I picked up and relapsed. And but before then, I felt like I felt kind of insecure about sponsoring, because I was still fighting the food on my own, but not all the time, but some of the time. And I felt like I don't want to give away what I have, because I don't think I was working the steps. I always, like, part of my thing of the struggles, it says, give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. The inside of A Vision for You, trying to stop thinking I could do, I think I've heard OA light, like I could do it, but not that hard, or not that to that degree, or I could do these steps, not those steps. Anyway, I am so grateful to qualify as a real compulsive overeater, and to be able to share what I was given by God. And I could not stop on my own. I was 100% powerless over stopping this addiction. And I needed God to do it for me. I thought he'd watch while I did it, and it just didn't work that way. So anyway, I just want to share that, and thank you for your service, and have a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Pam B. in California. Next up, we have Ginger M. in New York. Good morning, Ginger. Star one, Ginger, please. I know you're probably trying to do that right now. Star one to unmute, Ginger.
Hi.
Okay,
Hi.
Great. No problem. Go ahead.
Thank you for your service, everyone.
So really, the main thing that I wanted to ask is, and then I'll say something connected to the reading. I'm trying to get in touch with someone that I used to speak to on a regular basis.
Okay, this isn't the time for questions. So
but there is no time to do it.
Reading?
Okay, but there is no time on this
well,
meeting.
Perhaps
to do
you
it.
Can text. Perhaps you can text somebody.
I don't have anybody's number to text. Okay, so I've started coming back to the meetings, and I do definitely realize that I have a problem with food, and I certainly am not up to sponsoring somebody. I haven't done steps yet. I started them with someone, and that did not work out at all. And it's very important for me to get through the steps. I know that. I have a lot of faith in the steps. Even not having completed them, I have a lot of faith in them. It's a great connection to higher power and offers an amazing psychic change. Excuse me. I have not been making outreach calls, and that's a problem for me because that's really my lifeline, not only for food, but in general, I get very isolated when I don't reach out and speak to people, especially about spiritual matters. And I guess I just have to jump in again and calling people. Sometimes it's because I'm depressed and it's not related to food, so I don't know how they would respond, and so I don't make the call. But I guess I should just have the courage and make the call, and you know, I'll find out whether the person is open to supporting me in regard to other things besides food. And I wish everybody a blessed day. Thank you for my
Ginger. And we do have a member list on our website, if that's helpful. Okay, we have time for one more share. So the first voice I hear gets it. Who's been holding back?
Rivka R.
Go ahead. Thank you, Rivka.
Hi, I'm Rivka R. I'm calling. I'm from New Jersey, currently in Minnesota. This is my first time sharing on the line. First time pressing star one. My heart is racing, but thanks everyone for being there and for your shares every day that I listen to. I've been listening to the vision readings for a few months, and really gained so much, heard so much experience, strength, and hope. And I related to this paragraph a lot about sharing my experience in the disease. I can also relate. I remember like somebody telling me about it, and I was like, I don't know if I'm a compulsive eater. I'm not really sure. I'm not really an emotional eater. But and when I came into the rooms and people would say, like, talked about like eating from the garbage, I was like, no, I didn't eat from the garbage, and I didn't do that, and I didn't like, you know, go out in the middle of the night to get my binge food. I never did any of those things. So I don't know, maybe I'm not as bad as them, but when I read that pamphlet, I think it's called Where Do I Start? I identified with so much of it. And I am so happy when I get to speak to a newcomer and tell over my story. When I look back at my behaviors, I realize that I really did do a lot of things. There's definitely one story I can think of that I did take food out of the garbage. I just didn't consider taking it out of the garbage because it was like still in the box, but it was in the garbage because it was stale. And I was, and I said, I'm just throwing it away before I eat it. But then I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, even though it's like, you know, it's still good food, there's no really reason to throw it away and it's still in the box and touch any garbage. So I'll just take it out and I'll eat it so that it, you know, doesn't go to the garbage, and I'll start my diet tomorrow. And that was kind of like the theme of my life. I'll start my diet tomorrow. As soon as I finish this that's in my house, or as soon as this time period in my life is over, or, you know, as soon as this holiday passed, or, you know, I don't know, like, another thing, like I was just saying before about how I wasn't sure if I was a compulsive overeater. And when I look back, like, I was totally on, like, you know, that joke, like, I'm a seafood diet. I'm on a seafood diet. Whatever I see, I eat. I was like, anything I saw in my cabinet, I felt this compulsion to eat it. I don't know what, like, I just had to eat it. I had to, like, take it out of the cabinet.
That's
and eat
time,
it.
Ruska.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Can you, thank you. Can you give us your last initial and where you're normally calling from if people
yes,
want to find you on the member list?
Rifki R. from New Jersey.
Amazing. Rifki R. from New Jersey. And thank you for your first time sharing. All right. Thank you, Team Monday. Robin P., Luann C., Alex K., Liz S., and Lilon P. Larry G. and Shelley E. will be staying on with you. If you are in need of a sponsor, if you're new and you want to leave your name and number, please stay on. And also, if you are an available sponsor. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Luann C., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, and thank everybody for helping me be a better sponsor today. I'm Luann C. I'm recovered in Boise, Idaho. Very grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.